Now, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. Into the strains of my babies coming home. Here now, the beloved, Bob and Ray, Elliott.
Hello, folks. I may be presuming a little bit, but, you know, after when we made this 3 weeks ago, I promised that I would send the money to you while you were
Don't
asleep.
Remind me of the trouble I'm in.
You called in live and you said the money. I couldn't send it, folks.
Don't remind me of the trouble I'm in.
You can just imagine the trouble you're in.
So let's not confuse the listeners further, because they have a hard enough time, Bob, trying to understand us when we're playing it straight.
Well, that's
true. Know? So rather than confuse the folks, let's get right to our first important feature tonight, one I think that will particularly please those of you who are scientifically inclined. This is Project Farsight. We're here in the monkey preparation room at Maynard Tech, and the next sound you hear will be one of the future. That was a monkey chattering, wasn't it, Space Doctor Sidney Root?
Yeah, that's right. We've got the little fellow all strapped down in that nose cone you see there.
And ultimately, he will be rocketed into space.
Yes. You see, next to man, a monkey is the most intelligent animal.
Well, just how intelligent are monkeys, Space Doctor Root?
Oh, quite intelligent. In fact, the first time this particular monkey saw the preparation room here, he tried to run away.
And I suppose one of the many security guards posted here stopped him.
That's right.
Well, now, Doctor, is that the nose cone I've heard so much about?
Yes. Can be fired into space and will re-enter the atmosphere without burning up.
And I suppose a good many materials were tested before you found the right combination.
Many tests were run, and the answer was quite simple. We used pressed hickory chips.
The kind commonly used in barbecue pits?
Exactly.
Yes, they just don't seem to burn. Well, Dr. Root, if the firing is successful, how long do you intend to keep the monkey in orbit?
Well, a good deal depends on the monkey. We're running a test on him now.
For physical fitness?
You might say that. Now, we fed the monkey a banana about 6 hours ago.
Well, I see you're ready to feed him another banana, Doctor.
Not exactly. This banana's for me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going to eat it in front of the monkey to see what his reaction is.
Jeez, this banana's a wet hand. He's really disturbed, Doctor.
Yeah. Well, now, we've just recorded his food envy reaction. He scored very well. Look at this graph here.
Looks very good. I'm not very good at reading graphs. What other tests have to be run on the monkey, Space Dr. Root?
Well, we're going to test his eyesight this afternoon.
How do you check a monkey's eyesight?
Well, this test will be conducted on the campus, and again, the banana will be utilized.
I know how you can test in a, you know, a pig's eye, but
yeah.
I've often wondered about
that. Now, this is a monkey we're dealing with.
Okay. Well, how do you do it?
Well, it's simple. One of my assistants holding the banana will walk away from the monkey, keeping the banana in sight.
Who'll be holding the monkey, Doctor?
No one. He'll be in a restraint bin.
I see.
Anyway, when the monkey stops chattering, I'll signal my assistant to stop walking.
Mm-hmm.
We'll measure off the distance.
Would you hazard a guess at this time as to how far the monkey will be able to see?
Well, he should keep the banana in sight for about 10 or 12 miles.
I see. Do you have a nickname for your future space traveler?
Yes. It's a blending of science and sentiment. We call him Billy Orbit, Space Monkey.
This has been Project Farsight, a preview of today, tomorrow. Tomorrow, today is what I meant. Okay. Now then, let's see. Oh, let's take a moment out now to remind horse racing fans, and that includes Uncle Bob and Uncle Ray, of this Saturday's Preakness Day.
Yes, the richest of the Triple Crown purses will be up for grabs at Pimlico, and you'll hear the race right here on most CBS radio stations. Shall we unfold the Bob and Ray Preakness tip sheet now, do you think?
Why not? To win, Bob and Ray predict Trick Knee to cop first place.
Trick Knee across the line in the number one spot. The place, it's going to be Glue Works.
Remember that now. The place, we figure Glue Works. A spunky 17-year-old bangtail from New York Central Park.
And in third slot, the show position, it's going to be my friend Flicker.
Well, not the Flicker.
No, this is Freddy Flicker.
Well, we'll deem it kind of you to mail us 10% of the winnings you cop on the basis of our tips.
And to find out just how right two guys can be, hear the Preakness this Saturday night. Oh. This Saturday, right here on most CBS radio stations.
Coffee, man.
Oh, hey, here's the coffee man.
Hey.
Oh, boy.
I have the pineapple danish, frozen danish. I got a bow tie. I've got a French donut. Jelly donut.
I'm a plain
bacon donut. Powder biscuit.
Yeah.
Cheese sandwich.
No.
And beer.
No, I guess not.
Not this time of day, I don't think.
Well, so long.
So long. See you again around, yeah. My fault. I made him look around. I'm sorry.
Well, that table shouldn't be right in front of the door there either.
Now, welcome to The Adventures of Charlie Chew and his irritating number one boy. Today's episode is entitled The Kidnapping of William Snyder.
So, Mr. Snyder, this letter you get from kidnappers?
That's right, Chew. I got it this morning. My only child was kidnapped, and he's just 3 years old.
May I know how ransom note delivered, Mr. Snyder?
Gosh, Pop, you can see for yourself how it was delivered. All you have to do is look at the envelope and the stamp on it.
Number one son, like donkey who throw head back to grave, can see nothing if head thrown back. This stamp is clever imitation.
Gee, see what you mean, Pop. Stamp must be 5 inches square. I never noticed anything like that.
Stamp is fake and so are you. Would suggest number one son get mind off swell girls.
What does all this mean, Joe?
This detective humbly suggests open envelope and see.
Well, you open it, Chew. You're wearing gloves.
Oh, very observant of you, Mr. Snyder. I open ransom note now.
Gosh, Pop, you got it open.
Opening envelope like eating soft-scented candy. Not as hard as it look.
What does the ransom note say, Chew?
I read, if you want to see your son William again, leave $12,000 on top of stump at Post Road and Burlingame Street. I mean business.
Gosh, Pop, there's no signature on it.
Which means writer of ransom note, no amateur. Mr. Snyder, you have money to pay kidnapper?
I don't have $12,000, Chew. The boy's uncle, James Venable Snyder, does. I'll call him.
Suggest you put phone down, Snyder. Call not be necessary.
I don't know what you mean, Chew.
Mr. Snyder, when you get letter in mail, how you know it ransom note before you open it? Suggest you could not know unless you write ransom notes yourself. Number one, son, stop him with flying tackle.
I got him, Pop. Gee, Pop, I never thought of what you just thought of.
Oh, I know that, number one, sap. You see, Snyder devised intricate plan to get $12,000 from boy's uncle, James Venable Snyder.
And I would have got it too, Chew. Where else did I slip up?
Your son William never kidnapped.
How'd you know that, Chew?
I observe your son through window in sandbox, crying. You come with me now, Snyder.
Gosh, just one thing I don't understand, Pop. Why did Snyder hire a detective as smart as you?
Because Snyder here, Roma, I would let you have a case.
Gosh, Pop, lucky I didn't.
You said it.
Are you going to finish that egg roll?
Yeah, no, I'm through. I've had all I can possibly handle.
And how about the spare ribs, sir?
Well, there's not many of those left.
Oh, I think we've started that one member of the audience again.
He has a queasy stomach, so he's say.
Now then, a few words of importance from Mr. Dale Pugh. Mr. Pugh is chairman of the Save a Bird Society, and he's here with some alarming news.
Well, frankly, I am alarmed, Mr. Goulding. May I sit down?
Please do. Are sparrows becoming more aggressive, Mr. Pugh?
No. Actually, if a person takes care not to provoke a sparrow, it will seldom wing to the attack.
Then a sparrow is a mild bird.
As mild as they come. Self-effacing, you might say. But I didn't want to get into actual bird personalities, Mr. Goulding.
Okay, Mr. Pugh. Now, you're here to apprise our listeners of hazards to birds in these modern and harrowing days.
That's correct, sir. I always say, give a bird a chance, he'll do a dance. Now, that's not literal, but the message is there.
Well, gee, I didn't think birds danced, Mr. Pugh.
Most of them don't, but a good many of them swoop when they're exuberant.
Okay, now, what are some of the hazards that face birds today, sir? Tell us.
Well,
now, what can we do to help?
Well, since the advent of jet aviation, we at Save a Bird have found that a good many of our airborne friends were being sucked into the jet intake of airplanes.
And, sorry, sir, that's a nasty guy. Well, what can we do about a bird being sucked into a jet airplane? What can we do about it?
Nothing.
Mr. Pugh, have you tried writing or talking to the various aircraft companies, perhaps with a few modifications?
I tried that. I even suggested a change in the position of the jet engines on the aircraft.
Guess you didn't go for that, huh?
Well, with my jet engine placement system, an engineer explained to me that the aircraft would move from side to side on the runway and ultimately collapse.
Well, I'm sure no company wants that.
No, actually, they're after speed.
Well, there's nothing then that the average listeners sitting out there, or whatever they're doing, can do about this current situation.
No, there isn't. And I'd advise the average listener to steer clear of letters or phone calls to aircraft companies. He might be investigated, same as I was.
I see. Okay, Mr. Pugh, what other hazards has our complicated civilization created for the poor bird?
Well, as you put it that way, seeding clouds with silver iodine for rainmaking purposes hasn't helped any.
Well, how's the ordinary bird react when he flies through a seeded cloud, Mr. Pugh?
Well, it discolors the beak, for one thing.
Well, that doesn't sound like too much damage, really.
You'd be surprised how it lowers morale among the birds. Also, silver iodide causes mal de mer in certain species of bird. Many of them have to land and lie on their sides for several days.
Well, how can we help there, Mr. Pugh?
Well, all you can do in a case like that is to make the bird comfortable.
And keep cats out of the vicinity.
Yes.
Okay. Well, is the Save a Bird Society doing anything special for birds right
Not
now?
Not at the present time.
All right. Thank you. If anyone would like to send you money...
Mr. Pugh. Wait a minute. He mentioned money. What is that?
If anyone would want to send you money for your good works, they
could... I wouldn't advise
them. All right. That was Mr. Dale Pugh of the Save a Bird Society. Thank you, sir.
Well, I guess we've got to go out and scrape up some more guests for tomorrow night, huh? This is a frequent thing we do after shows.
Maybe tomorrow night we won't have any guests at all. Just surprise everybody and just sit here and talk with Bob and Ray. We haven't heard from Webb or Mary or Wally or anybody for a long time.
That's right. Well, we could do that, huh?
Well, in any event, we'll be back to say so long in just 10 seconds. I think that cue was enough.
Yes, I'd go along with that.
Until tomorrow, Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
Yes, he will.
Borrow a cup of comedy from the couple next door tomorrow on the CBS Radio Network.
Next on the KCBS AM/FM San Francisco Khrushchev's News Conference.